Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a political refuge from the madness outside. Today is going to be an interesting episode, I think. I had other things planned, but I decided to go for a completely different path, and I'm kind of just throwing this together because I think it's important to talk about. I got a comment on my social media this morning where somebody said, "You would get a lot more support and understanding if you didn't act like all Tory voters are posh twats." And the comment immediately annoyed me, and I kind of just snapped back at the person. But then I thought about it, and the person actually has a really good point. I am so dismissive of people that vote Tory, even though I am related to them, and even though I work with them, and even though I know them, and even though I care for some. And I don't understand why, but I do at the same time. I've realised that there's this thing that I'm going to term the politics of division. And I think that it needs to be urgently addressed because I don't think that it benefits anybody. I decided recently, I injured myself actually, and I haven't been able to go to the gym, which is my usual kind of mental health like boon. So I decided I was going to do something useful with that time. So I decided that I was going to start listening to right-wing voices, reasonable ones, and reading right-wing books and stuff like that as well in between all of the lefty content that I consume, so that I could get more of a nuanced perspective. And what I've realised is something quite scary. Nobody's happy right now. And there's this theory that if nobody, you know, like people say about the BBC, if the left and the right are complaining about the BBC, it must be doing a good job of being neutral. But the fact is, if both sides are complaining about the BBC, who is it satisfying? It seems to me the answer is nobody, and that's interesting. The thing is, we are becoming more and more and more and more and more polarised in politics, and that's a problem, because the more you polarise, the more you pull away from the fact that the people around you are exactly like you, and they have wants and needs. And I've realised that we on the left have a lot in common with people on the right. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some things that we fundamentally disagree on. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change their mind about the things that they agree on that I don't. But I want ABC, and they want XYZ. Who is talking about DEFGHIJKLMNOP that we all have in common? Because it seems to me that those things are all being pushed to the side in favour of stupid rhetoric and rows about genitals and rows about whether people committing crime means that they should get murdered by the police, or all of these ridiculous things that just come up over and over and over and over again. And I'm trying to approach this from an element of nuance that I've never really given it before, because I've always just seen it as right-wing bad, left-wing good. Part of the reason that this has come up was a lot of left-winger commentators' approach to the Ukraine-Russia situation is ridiculous. And part of it was I literally laughed myself sick at Vladimir Putin weighing in to say that J.K. Rowling had been cancelled. I felt like it was an unreality moment. A man who kills, poisons, or imprisons anybody that disagrees with him, talking about cancellation culture and saying that would never happen in our society. No, Vlad, it wouldn't. Because if J.K. Rowling was saying he's a bad man, you'd have Novichoked her. So maybe sit out the debate about cancel culture, will you? I digress. I decided to start listening to voices that I wouldn't normally listen to so that I can't be accused of being in an echo chamber. And what I noticed, apart from the fact that there's some really stupid takes on both sides, is that no one's fucking happy. And I started to question who's actually being fulfilled by the state of play right now. And I think the answer is a very small amount of people, which is really worrying. Politics as a whole is meant to look out for the will, like the will of the people. And not even the will of the people, but politics is meant to satisfy the most people it can. It isn't actually about, I voted for you, so you do things for me. It's meant to be, We have a plan for society that will make you safe, that will make your bills okay, that will make you protected, that will look after your rights. It's not going to satisfy everybody, but broadly, politics is about, we think this is the best approach for the country. It's not about, I voted for you, so do this shit for me. I think that some people approach it from that way. If you do, you're incorrect. But I started to read books like, I read, what's it called? The Demons of Liberal Democracy by Pabst. And in amongst the bits that made me fucking crack up laughing, because he was essentially talking about cancel culture before it was called that, he hit on some really important things. He said, it's about the failure of the far left and the far right to meet the mass of the middle's needs, which is very true. Ironic, because I see him as quite far right, and he was using his book to talk about how the far right needs to have its needs met. He did seem to, he was saying that liberalism is the reason that there's cancel culture and like censorship and everything. And again, I reflect you back to the fact that, like, I don't know if you think that Vladimir Putin is a left-winger, but he's quite far-right, he's authoritarian, and he wants to kill people. And I kind of see that as a little bit worse than telling people that they're shitheads from an internet platform because they have a view you disagree with strongly. He said that hyper-liberalism is the reason there's a lack of debate. He's not 100% wrong. I don't necessarily agree that cancel culture is a thing in the way that people present it as. I think that the only way that you can suffer from cancel culture is if you yourself feel contrition and have no ego and feel bad for what you said and done. If you don't feel bad, you can never be cancelled, because cancel culture requires you to feel an element of shame. It's why I don't agree anytime people say like JK Rowling is cancelled, because she's still got movies coming out, she's still got books coming out, she's still making trillions and zillions and billions of pounds. The same with everyone else who complains about being cancelled. You're not cancelled, people are saying that you're wrong, and you're throwing a fit about it. That's just being called, that's called being childish. But ultimately, when it comes to reading these things and when it comes to listening to these people, I realize that there's a lot that binds us all together, but we're overruling those things, those commonalities that we have, in favor of being pissed off at each other for various issues. I'm not going to get into the various issues because there's very solid reasoning that we're getting pissed off about them. But what I'm saying is, if I as a lefty want 1, 2, 3, and you want 8, 9, 10, if we have all the rest in the middle in the commons, why are we arguing with each other? Why aren't we dealing with those? Why aren't we looking at those? Why aren't we putting pressure on politicians to fix those things? And then, when things are stable, we can have the discussions about the other things. Why are we not doing that? Because what's happening right now is that we are being polarized further and further and further away from each other. We're dehumanizing each other more and more and more and more and more. And I can only see it leading into disaster. I have a friend who I personally, like, I just, like, have got all the time in the day for him. He's brilliant. And I want him on the podcast soon. And yesterday, he and I were talking about the fact that we see it as inevitable that there's going to be some societal upheaval at some point between the left and the right. And we were talking about it in terms as if it's inevitable. But if we could get enough people to wake up to the fact that everything is a false flag, that there are issues that we could solve like that, if we could talk about those things and get them solved, we would realise that there is enough room in the middle for us all to come together. I actually did a similar post recently about the fact that there's infighting on the left. It's broader than that. We fight against people that disagree with us politically, and it's dumb. I am not talking, by the way, about people who want to restrict transgender healthcare, people who want to censor LGBTQIA people. I'm not talking about people that think that Antifa is a bad thing. It stands for anti-fascist, and if you're not anti-fascist, you're either fascist indifferent or a fascist. Like, come on, common sense, please. So there's certain caveats that I'm putting in here. Ultimately, the point is, and the points are, society is deeply unhappy at the moment. A lot of us. And I don't see what good that does. And I don't see why we do allow it to continue. For a very long time, I've been saying, you know, we need to play the game and we need to work with what we've got. And I still, to a point, agree with that. But I think politicians need to become more radical in fulfilling the needs that we have over just playing these ridiculous games with us and telling us that, well, you know, we'd have more money if we weren't looking after refugees. Find money. We have to look after refugees. It doesn't matter if they've come here because we started a war in their country. It doesn't matter if they've come here because of economic instability. It doesn't matter if they've come here because they just fucking want to. I don't care. It's going to happen. You need to find money to look after them, but also to look after us. If you aren't doing that, you aren't doing a good job as a government. That's just a fact. But don't attribute all of my societal ills to that, because it's patently false. I am a member of a minority, and I have seen it. It doesn't happen as much now, but I have seen the blame laid at our doorstep for ridiculous things. Drug usage and promiscuous sex and blah, 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 and all the nonsense. To the point where we are just constantly sexualized all the time. We get sexualized by the straight community constantly. And I don't get why. Like, me actually having sex with men is a very small part of my sexuality. It dictates who I find attractive. It dictates where I feel safe at the moment. And it dictates very little other than that. But it's a broad part of my life, personally. It doesn't mean I deserve demonization. It doesn't mean that if a chocolate bar has two men kissing on an advert that you need to freak out about being erased, because you're always going to be there. You're the main people. Just sometimes it's nice for us to have some inclusion. But bearing in mind, they're throwing those two men kissing into that advert so that you will get angry and have discourse online and say Cadbury's or whatever it is, and they'll get free advertising out of you. You're playing into their hands. That's exactly what's happening with all of this societal stuff. It's almost like we're just being fed division at every corner. And I don't understand why people sink into this kind of weird polarized idea that, you know, like, you can't have the gays on TV or it'll turn more people gay. It won't. Like, people are or they aren't. But even if it does, like, it's not going to end society. Like, it won't. Like, just, it's an unfounded fear, and it's so boring that we're still having this discussion. Transgender people using women's spaces, like, it's happened for longer than I've been alive, and if you feel uncomfortable, then I'm very sorry about that. I think it's a bit narrow-minded, but just, if they're just there in your space, I don't really see what the issue is. That's my perspective as a cis man. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for that, but just, you know, I really don't care. It's all very tiring to listen to these debates over and over and over again. So many things that we could be looking at, like, and I'm not even going to go into them, like, there's so many things that threaten women, all women's existence, that threatens their existence, that threatens their liberty. And we're talking yesterday on talk radio, on LBC, on Sky News, on the BBC, significant portions of prime time kept up by, can women have penises? Should men be offended when they're asked to tick a questionnaire about pregnancy? God, just fuck off, honestly. The childishness, it's just so pathetic. You've got more in common with a transgender person than you do with some super rich guy who's making executive decisions about how much money you should have taken out of your salary every month. He affects your life on a monthly basis when you get paid. That transgender person, you might see one, two, three transgender people in the bathroom in your life. What's your issue? Get a life. Just get a life, honestly. I'm doing the thing that I said that I wouldn't do. Like, I'm overriding people's views. But the point is, there's so much strife right now for everybody. Everybody. And we are focusing on these silly micro issues. And I can see it leading to such a dangerous path. I can see us facing real problems where we are at each other's quite literal throats. Because we cannot see past these micro battles. I have made it my catchphrase to say we deserve better. And that's not we lefties deserve better. It's not we gays deserve better. It's not we Brits deserve better. As a species, we deserve better. We elect people to look after our interests, to look after our wants, our dreams, our hopes, our needs, our money, our safety. And I'm sorry, but to a man, I think they're all failing at the minute. And I think it would be stupid to deny it. Those people are failing us. I don't know why. I don't know why it's happening. But those people are failing us. When it comes down to the state of affairs at the moment, I don't really know what it is to suggest, because I am not smart enough to come up with a theory of reconciliation between the left and the right, to the disenfranchised and the very enfranchised. I don't know. I am not smart enough. But I know that it needs to happen. I don't want to keep fighting with people as people are dying and getting sick because of coronavirus. I don't want to keep fighting with people because they've voted for someone I don't like. I want to understand it. One of the coolest conversations I've had, one of the most illuminating ones, was with Femi, and he made me realise something that I never cottoned onto, which is that people that voted for Brexit weren't voting against the EU, necessarily. A lot of them were just voting against the status quo. They were miserable in their lives, and they were told during the referendum, well, it's the EU that makes you poorer, it's the EU that makes you buy straight bananas, it's the EU that wants to standardise blah blah blah. I actually asked a Brexit voter once, like, give me the one core issue that made you think that Brexit was a good idea. And I'm not even parodying it here. It is still up. The videos are still up on my TikTok from 2020. He said, standardised toilets. EU were trying to force us to have standardised toilets in our houses. And I was like, are you referring to the new legislation that means that everybody needs to have green toilets that use less water so that we're not damaging the environment as much? And he said, yes. And I said, so you voted for us to leave the European Union because they wanted us to have eco-friendly toilets? And he said, yes. It's a legitimate concern, I guess, for some people. I just don't get it, you know? But the point is, for the longest time, I and people like me and people on the other side who do what I do, political commentation or whatever, we've all just stopped listening to each other about the actual concerns. Like, I don't care about fucking eco toilets. I care about, like, why did you feel so dissatisfied with your life that voting to leave the EU seemed like a good idea? You know, like, I need to learn that and understand that so that we can all come together and figure out how to not repeat what is a mistake. Leaving the EU was a mistake. Now I don't begrudge or feel anger towards Brexiteers because I understand that they were misled. I feel anger towards people that are still unrepentant Brexiteers because I think that you can't deny that it's done damage and that we are going to be long in our graves before this country recovers from what it's done. And even if we go back in the EU, we're going to be in a worse position. It was a foolish decision. I just, when I look at how I've been approaching my political commentation, I want to change the way that I'm doing it. Because the truth is, I say this a lot, I never meant to create an internet platform where I was like being listened to about politics, because I've always felt like a nobody. And I am, really. And I think that's why why what I'm doing kind of works. I'm just a random person. But I make content, not, I always say that it's to, like, part of it's to make lefty people feel good and feel supported and like they're not going crazy in a world where it feels like you're going crazy sometimes. But the reason that I make the content that I make is because there's so many of us out there who've been led down the garden path by these absolute arsewipes who are in charge, who deserve so much better, so much more than we're getting. And this isn't just me and lefty people. This is everybody. Everybody across the political spectrum seems to be being let down. As far as I'm concerned, far-right people can fuck off. I think that they're scum because they do some really bad things. When it comes to people on the other side of the spectrum, I think there are some very far-left people who freak me out, who I've seen dox people, create accounts so they can harass people. I think there's problematic themes that run throughout political polarization. And if you are on the very far end of either side of a spectrum, then you are probably looking at things through a very specific lens and you should be very wary about how you act and what you do and perhaps should look at moderation. I'm not saying that I'm a centrist. I don't really care if people think I'm a centrist. I call myself a patient lefty. That's the way I feel. I think a lot of other people feel the same. I don't know. Ultimately, the reason that I'm making today's podcast episode and the reason that it's about this is that I talked to one of my friends, who hopefully will be on the podcast soon, about the fact that we think that there is a reckoning coming between the left and the right, which really does freak me out, and that it's kind of inevitable. But I don't know if that's inevitable. I don't know if that has to happen. If enough of us can reach moderation and realise that we have a lot in common that we can all address together, if we realise that we can work together to fix the big problems in society, we can look at the smaller things, we can look at the debates at leisure and deal with them. Until then, we're just going to be at each other's throats, hurting each other, attacking each other for ridiculous things like our gender, our sexuality, our skin colour and all of that. When the fact is, underneath those things, we are all human beings and there are some commonalities that we all want, we all need, and we should all get addressed. And we are being failed by politicians who push the message that that's what we should be fighting about while they are emptying the coffers behind us. I don't want to fight with right-wing people. I don't want to indoctrinate right-wing people into my way of thinking. I want right-wing people to realise that my politics and the politics that I believe in and the politics that a lot of people that I support is that we deserve better. I am not going to engage in this mudslinging bullshit anymore. I know full well, I actually found out yesterday that someone downloads a lot of my videos and puts them into a right-wing hate chat group so they can basically insult me. And I kind of found it funny, because I was just like, you don't do that to someone you don't see as a threat. You know, I some of my friends talk about right-wing commentators and I'm just like, I don't care about their opinion. I've nothing to do with them. There are some people, though, who I respect. And I think I'm never going to be a right-winger. I'm never going to agree with right-wing politics because it's too regressive and it's too selfish for me. But what I do think is that there's a lot of problems that we could all solve if we all came together and if we all took the heat out of these ridiculous debates that are going on. I don't care about who's got a dick. I don't care about whether you're upset about a statue being dunked in a river. I don't care. I care about the fact that we are all being failed by a system that doesn't work. And I'm not just talking about capitalism, which I have complicated feelings towards. I'm talking about politics itself. Every single time you read any story about any politician from either side of the spectrum doing something they shouldn't, I want you to remember this phrase: we deserve better. This is no longer for me a game about trying to get one up on right-wingers. It's not about trying to make Tory voters feel stupid. It's about trying to figure out what the hell we do to get out of this cul-de-sac of nightmarishness that we're in, and how we actually start making the world a better place. I do far too much sitting on the internet and moaning. I am one of those terminally online people. But the time's coming where I want to start making real connections and making an actual difference and doing the things that I talk about. I don't just want to sit on the internet and moan about how I think other people have really hard lives and we should fix it. I want to try and make the world a better place. If you don't want to make the world a better place, my only question is, what the hell's wrong with you? Things could be so much better. We all deserve better. Maybe we should start focusing on that as a common goal. Because, to coin an old phrase, there's more that unites us than divides us. Thanks for listening to Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to discuss politics palatably. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find me at Davy Moo pretty much everywhere. And you can also find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, where you can see the blog. You can find us on Ko-fi in case you'd like to caffeinate me. And you can find us on Twitter at Political Rages. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay politically engaged and get politically enraged. Because remember, we deserve better.